Erfan Alam isn't sure how to pronounce his first name. The confusion stems from the varied intonations of his friends at Bowdoin, Erfan, his family, Erfan, and his friends from his largely white private high school in Austin, Texas. Erfan. Austin, Texas is a city blanketed by rolling juniper hills and limestone balconies. For many, it's a political and cultural oasis, a small blue dot whose liberal core finds respite within a largely red state. Despite its relative tolerance, Austin is a city divided by the snaking Colorado River, a popular destination of the city's nearly 1 million residents, and the Goliath Interstate Highway 35, which has served as the city's unspoken racial boundary since 1928. Like Austin, Erfan resists easy categorization. Raised by his grandma, whom he calls Nanu, in an affluent Pakistani Sunni Muslim immigrant family, he is both Pakistani and Indian, a comical cultural schism that he says has always collapsed into one unitary brown identity when immersed in predominantly white populations, such as Bowdoin or his Episcopal high school. Caught between many worlds, Erfan remembers growing up with Nanu and his parents, who worked often and were active members of what he calls the brown community, a group of Pakistani Sunni Muslim families who reside primarily in South Central Austin. This world existed entirely apart from that of his school, a K-12 oasis whose iconographic coat of arms accompanies its mascot, the Crusader. Erfan remembers one other Muslim peer. The common denominator was his Nanu, who drove Erfan and his brother to and from school and packed their boxed lunches, always filled with some super-cultured South Asian cuisine, not, as Erfan wished at the time, a fruit roll-up and turkey sandwich. When I meet Erfan in Austin, he tells me to meet him by the cows, a grouping of marble cows in a wooded cove overlooking Highway 360, the road on which Erfan will travel home after we speak. Adjacent to an Amy's Ice Cream and the city's largest Barnes & Noble booksellers, the cows are a popular weekend destination for families and the stuff of elementary school suburban dreams. "My Nanu used to take me here as a kid," he says. Then he tells me that he's currently worried that a member of the brown community might happen to see us. Upon his departure, his mom questioned him, "What if one of my Desi friends sees you guys?" He references the Hindi phrase, "lo kya kahenge," which translates to the rhetorical question, "What will people think?" It's a classic phrase that's everywhere in the brown community. My mom says it, grandma says it. What will the community think? Erfan says it as a statement, though the phrase operates as a question in and of itself. "You're going to Bowdoin. No one will know Bowdoin." That's a classic example. "My decisions I make are always compared to the community." It's a story that feels familiar. I think about my mom and her journey from Mumbai to Austin and the insularity of our home life. Idli on the skillet, no phone calls after 9:30 in the evening, and my mother's fondness for old Bollywood flicks that remind her of my grandfather, a sound recordist and freedom fighter for Indian independence. Sitting on the cows, I tell Erfan about my first not-a-date date in this same place, the way I told my mom I was just browsing books and how the boy who I had snuck away to see had similarly fibbed his father, the patriarch of a strict Hindu home. Erfan can relate, and we tie together the similarities between our upbringings. The inextricable bond between home and family, the longing to resurrect a homeland that is oceans away, and the pressure to make sure that this life, removed from that of our heritage, is worth the costs of assimilation. Erfan pauses. This is not an emblematic portrait of American adolescence, nor of growing up in Austin. Known for Texas football, South by Southwest, and all the city does to keep Austin weird, Austin captivates the modern urban imagination in the way it evades classification. Neither the Deep South nor the Wild West, it is part rancher, part genteel. But it is also heavily entrepreneurial, innovative in a way that has precipitated a boom of immigrant communities, like that of Erfan's family. The Asian Pacific Islander community, which the state census uses as an umbrella category to include South Asians, is Austin's fastest growing demographic, comprising 8% of the current population. Within that, Indian Americans comprise the largest Asian ethnic group in the city. It's a demographic that will likely exceed the city's African-American population in coming years, according to the city of Austin. "I don't actually feel like I experienced the city of Austin until after I left for Bowdoin," Erfan said. "Growing up, I was always confused about why that was the case, why classmates of mine were always into new Austin places and did fun Austin things, while I didn't." As Erfan lists all of the Austin events that he's found in college, the city that he splutters to describe crystallizes. As an adjective, the idea of Austin is recognizable to anyone from the city or the surrounding area. Not marked by the city's museums, geographic location, or even world-class institutions, it's a lifestyle, as well as a type of aesthetic ideal, one that's tethered to an ever-rotating spectacle of kite festivals, live music shows, barbecue, and seasonable weather. Instead of hanging around after basketball games in middle school like most of his friends and families did, Erfan remembers spending time at home with Nanu, talking in the kitchen, listening to her stories about life in Pakistan, and blasting Bollywood music on the way to school. Her whole life story is all about sacrifice. She sacrificed everything, all of her interests, everything, always for my grandfather, my mom and her siblings, basically raising me and my brother. That level of sacrifice, that kind of keeping it in, I could never emulate that. I've been raised to fight for what I want and to go after what I want. And she just put everything behind her, getting an education and all those things. That was never in her plan. It's hard for her to rationalize why I left to Bowdoin. It's hard for her to rationalize why I'm leaving to Boston. Because part of the immigrant mentality is to stay with your family and to stay united as a family. For Pakistani people in our community, I was the only person ever, I feel, to actually have left Austin for college. Everyone else went to UT Austin or tried ultimately to get to UT Austin. In May, Erfan will graduate as Bowdoin Student Government President. In August, he will move to Boston to start his job at a healthcare consulting firm. When asked what he will miss the most about his hometown, Erfan allows the question to hang in the air. Austin? I don't know. I don't think I'll ever really have an answer. Austin? I don't know. I don't think I'll ever really have an answer. I do love being here. When I come back from Bowdoin on vacation, I get the sick pleasure from just driving on 360 Bridge. And I'm just like, I'm home. But it's not South Congress or 6th Street or Zilker Park. I don't know what it is. Finally, almost defeatedly, he arrives at the answer he's known all along. My relationship to Austin is directly impacted by my relationship to home, my relationship to family. He says, it is only because of that sacrifice that I was able to become the person I am, and I will forever be grateful for that. Speaking with Erfan, I can't help but think about Bowdoin's core value of connection to place. I wonder about how those connections change within an immigrant family when the place you call home is worlds apart from your cultural home. Erfan's and my mom's shared homelands across the ocean. Driving home from the cows, I experience Erfan's sick joy. The thrill of a body moving across a landscape that our families, in their own particular ways, have made our own. For the first time since leaving, it feels enough to call these rolling hills and soaring highways home.